It's a great day here at WBGO because we have one of jazz's modern day masters in our studio. Or maybe I should just call you a bad hombre. I don't know. The baddest hombre. For the last couple of decades, Antonio Sanchez has been making a name for himself, winning 5 Grammys along the way. All with Pat Metheny?
One with Michael Brecken and the Birdman one.
Antonio Sanchez has really, though, been focusing on his own music with his band Migration, an incredible ensemble that he has in studio today. John Escreet, the British Invasion, also in our studio on keys and Fender Rhodes piano. Their British bassist Orlando Le Fleming, along with Chase Baird on tenor sax and the Iwi, which is exciting, and your lovely wife and the beautiful singer Tana Alexa. Thank you guys for being here. This is so exciting.
My pleasure, man. Our pleasure. It's so good to be here. Thanks for the invitation.
Well, let's just get straight to the music. There's a lot to talk about with this music. So you're just going to have to hear the music first, and then we'll get into what it's all about. Lines in the Sand, part one, performed here on The Checkout. And we are shooting video, y'all. And you should go watch it right now. Antonio Sanchez touring the world. Finally, his album release party here at Le Poisson Rouge, Friday, June 28th. 2 days later, an appearance at the Montreal Jazz Festival, where we will be there as well at The Checkout. And then joining Antonio Sanchez, where The Checkout will be giving a talk in Bucharest, Romania. Shout out to the Bucharest Jazz Festival, July 3rd through the 7th. And so many other places in between. Antonio Sanchez, just go to his website and check out all of his tour dates. Clearly, you're like one of the, like I said, baddest hombres around playing the drums.
Thank you.
And I'm sure all the legends that you have played with over the years have all probably showered you with compliments on your playing. but I'm curious if any of these musicians have ever called you intuitive.
Intuitive. I've been called many names. Intuitive is not one. No. I have. Yeah, I mean, I think what some of these musicians that you mentioned like about my playing is that I'm always, always listening. You know, I'm always trying to interact with whatever information I'm given, which obviously, you know, that's the job of any jazz musician. But some people do it more intently than others. And I like, as a drummer, to play counterpoint to every other musician that is on stage. And of course, I like to play the groove, obviously, and be very supportive. But I also like to create a lot of tension, you know. So usually when you see a jazz band and nothing's happening, they're all competent musicians, but nothing's happening usually because the drummer is not creating this kind of tension that I'm talking about. So I like that tension because it makes everybody play differently. And that's always good.
Why I picked this word intuitive of all words is you formed your band called Migration.
You know, I did my first record, which was called Migration, and that was 2006. And then when we started touring a little bit more formally, then I thought, you know, it's cool to have a band with a name.
Right.
And I just always liked that name for many reasons, you know. But I kind of can guess where you're going with this.
Yeah, because you're not only listening to the musicians around you, but you're clearly sort of locked in to our times. And you have this incredibly potent name before the last election even occurred.
Yeah, I mean, that was a complete accident, definitely. It's like, you know, remember Anthrax, when all the stuff started happening with people being mailed Anthrax and then the band Anthrax. And, you know, I think they got pretty popular around that time.
That's so dark.
I'm just, no. I just totally
that was
made
a joke.
But, you know, in terms of the band and what's going on right now, I feel like it's a really good flag to be carrying, you know, that name, because, you know, to begin with, we're all from different parts of the world. New York is obviously the epitome of that, and how you can live side by side with a bunch of people from all over the world and then make music as well with those people. But yeah, I think it's a very timely name for a band, definitely. And especially because of, you know, I'm Mexican, you know, I was born and raised there. So now when we play live, and especially this album called Lines in the Sand, which is, you know, the backstory is about, you know, borders and immigrants. And basically what I wanted to say is, how would we want to be treated if we had to flee our homes because of war, because of famine, because of violence or persecution? So to me, it's all about empathy and love. You know, it's not about hating on the current administration, which, of course, a lot of us have a lot to say about that. But it's more about putting the attention on the people that need it, which are the immigrants and especially a different kind of immigrant than, you know, what Donald Trump would like. You know, it's the immigrants that are usually dark skinned and they're coming into this country because the situations back home are really bad. You know, I know he would like a bunch of, you know, Scandinavian people to come. I mean, he actually said that, I think, at some point when there was the whole thing about countries. Whole countries or something like that. I can't remember the phrasing. But yeah, you know, that's the kind of immigrant that he would prefer, obviously, but that's not the kind of immigrant that usually needs to flee their country in order to look for a better life.
Thank you. crosses erased from its gleaming surface, replaced with hues of red, white, and blue. 55 feet of cold concrete that runs from the Pacific to the Gulf. And a cheer from those who used to cross, joyous, relieved, grateful, and a silent cry from those who used to walk. Hoping their water and prayers will last, tell us your dishonored names and we will testify. Oye, listen.
Thank you.
Lines in the Sand, Part 2, performed here live in our WBGO studio. It almost seems, Antonio, like this story, migration, has also been told for you. Like all of this, these themes that are in your life, you almost have no control over them because these kinds of issues date back to your grandfather.
Yeah, I mean...
And who is your grandfather, just so people know?
Right, my grandfather is... arguably the most famous living oldest actor in Mexico. His name is Ignacio López Tarso, and he's a bad hombre. He's still working at 94. He's about to open a play called A Life in the Theater from David Mamet, and he's doing that alongside his son, my uncle, Juan Ignacio Aranda. So he's been a powerhouse in my life. For as long as I can remember, we went to see not that long ago King Lear with Glenda Jackson, and that was amazing. But when I saw my grandfather doing King Lear,
the Mad King,
yeah, I mean it was just mind blowing, you know. And I have this image of my powerful, you know, grandfather, which he was in his prime back then, and just carrying Cordelia, his daughter, you know, yelling and screaming from the back of the theater all the way to the front. And, you know, I get goosebumps whenever I think about that.
That's incredible. Yeah. And so your grandfather, before he became a celebrity and rich and famous, though, was actually a migrant worker.
Yes. So he was what they called braceros, which I'm not exactly sure what's the translation, but basically they would give permits for people to come here temporarily and then work the fields or work something that was usually, you know, hard labor, physical labor. And he was working in California picking oranges. And he was very young, and then he fell from a tree into some boxes and broke his back. And they sent him back to Mexico on a train with a few dollars. And by the time he got home, he was basically paralyzed. And then some doctor found out about his case, looked him up, and went to see him and told him, look, I'm working on this experimental procedure that, you know, I would like to try on you because you're a good candidate for it. And what I can assure you is that if you don't do anything, you're going to be paralyzed. So you have not much to lose. And he did it. And basically, it was the beginnings of fusion when they fuse your spine. Basically, he was in some wooden boards that he had to be like for 8 months or 9 months. And he was actually, his main goal was to be a priest. So while he was in these wooden boards, he started just reading and reading and reading poetry, literature, and theater. And by the time he got out and he started feeling better, he wanted to study something that had to do with acting and just doing, you know, something related to that. So it was a pretty amazing story.
And probably most famous film occurred, what, in 1960, where he was the leading figure in Macario, a supernatural drama. Was the first Mexican film to be nominated for an Academy Award.
Yeah, I mean, that's my favorite film of his. It's just a beautiful story, and the photography, the cinematography, everything is just beautiful. And his acting is really incredible.
So if you really look at this story in a more meta sense and step aside from it, do you think you, Antonio Sanchez, would even be the artist you are today if your grandfather hadn't broken his back picking oranges?
Probably not. Yeah, I mean, it's when you start getting that deep, it's it's very scary what life would be if you start thinking that way. But yeah, I'm pretty sure. You know, his life would have been totally different. My mother would have been different. And I, even if I was born, I would have been a completely different person, I think.
Well, I want more stories with you, Antonio Sanchez. But let's listen to some more of you with your band here in our studio. Antonio Sanchez and Migration. This is called Home. So, Antonio Sanchez, we just heard Home, your band, in our studio. Watch video while you're at it. Go right now. It is in your DNA as kind of your moral obligation to speak out on these issues. You don't even have a choice.
That's how I feel, definitely, that I don't have a choice because I'm Mexican. I was born and raised there. I'm an American now. And I really want to... want everything to come together nicely, but obviously that's not what's happening right now. And I just feel so bad to be now an American, which I don't have any immigration problems anymore, thank God. But I did for a long time, you know, just trying to get my migratory status in order. I was never an illegal. It was incredibly hard to stay legal the whole time.
I mean, you just got your citizenship.
Just right before the election. So the timing was very good, as you can imagine. But, you know, up to the moment when I had a green card, it was really bad because as a Mexican, you are required to do a completely different thing than most people that require visas. So, for example, during my student years, everybody would get their student visa for 4 years, and I would get mine for a year at a time. And then
when you were studying at Berklee College of Music.
When I started at Berklee, yeah. And then when I first got my first working visa, artist visa, O-1, everybody gets it for 3 years, and I would get it for 6 months at a time. So I had to go back to Mexico and renew it every time. Sometimes I would be in the middle of a tour when it would expire, and I couldn't go back home to New York, and I had to go straight to Mexico to renew it. I mean, it was just very, very stressful. And I'm one of the lucky ones that was always legal and always, you know, could do it. So, yeah, I just feel bad for what's going on right now, for all these people that are trying to find a better life, and they're just making it incredibly hard.
How is your grandfather, Ignacio Lopez Tarso, responding to these issues? How's he dealing with them?
Well, I mean, he's aware, obviously, of what's going on. We have also our share of problems in Mexico with the new president. He's, you know, far left, but some things that are happening just don't make sense with a far left president, which is basically, you know, socialist president. And the first thing they did is cut a bunch of funding for the arts and culture, which in a socialist environment, that's usually what doesn't get cut. Education
in
and
Europe
culture,
especially.
Yeah. So I don't know. It's all confusing. And so because people have their enough share of problems in Mexico, I think they're really paying attention to that. And then whatever happens with Trump is kind of secondary. But now that he's announced all those tariffs on goods coming from Mexico, people are paying a lot of attention now.
It all comes back to money, unfortunately.
Yeah.
So Antonio Sanchez, I think it's still up. If you go explore our archives at checkoutjazz.org, we did a conversation with you at your alma mater at Berklee College of Music, where we actually get into your fascinating history, just your development into being a human being. And one of those directions was being a world-class gymnast, which I still can't get over.
I don't know about world class.
You were getting there.
I mean, I would have liked to, but I mean, I was in the national junior team for a little bit, and I mean, I was good at floor exercise. Let's put it that way.
And then I also learned that you were early on the road with your grandfather in some circus performances or something.
Oh, okay. Let me clarify that. Kind of, but not at all. So what happened was that he was doing a pilot for a TV series. And then the TV series was about a traveling circus. And
okay.
Yeah. So, but even back then, I was like the musician kid that was traveling with the circus. So I had a snare drum, and I was playing along to a band that was so. And the funny thing is that the director of that pilot, which when I was like, I don't know, I must have been like 7 or 8, something like that. He is the one that is directing my grandfather in this last 3 plays that he's done the last few years. So Wow. Full circle, yeah.
Oh, incredible. And when you were making this pilot, they didn't ask you to do flips and play the drums.
Well, I couldn't really do flips yet. That came a little later. But then when I started doing gymnastics, and then I also started studying classical piano, then whoever would come to the house and visit, then I had to play drums, play the piano, and do flips. So, I was a very entertaining kid back then.
Antonio Sanchez, you're something else. With the last tune, which is the Bad Hombre That Is You. Bad Hombre...
Mujeres.
Oh,
bad
sorry.
Hombres y mujeres. So bad men and women. And I have to tell you the backstory of that. Because in the record Bad Hombre, I had the tune Bad Hombre, and it had a bass line that I really liked. But it, like I said before, those were not really tunes. So I wanted to grab that bass line and turn it into a full-fledged tune. So I started writing a crazy melody on top of that. And then because, you know, Tana and I are married, I asked her to come downstairs and check out what I was doing. And it was, the melody was so convoluted that she was like, I don't think that can be sung. I don't know if that's possible. And I'm like, of course it's possible. You know, you're Tana Alexa, you can do it. And then she worked on it. She would send me texts while I was on the road, insulting me every now and then because she was working on
it. Well, I want to hear Tana's side of it.
I won't speak about it. It's too traumatic.
I mean, the bottom line is that the tune was called Bad Hombres. So she said, okay, this is so hard that if I'm going to sing this, you have to name the tune Bad Hombres y Mujeres, Bad Men and Women. And I was like, that's a deal. And hence the title. And she's singing every note of that melody. So, yeah.
Go watch him in our studio right now. Check out jazz.org and see him in concert. Go to Antonio Sanchez's website. See him here in New York at Le Poisson Rouge, at Saratoga Jazz Festival, Montreal Jazz Festival, and or come to Romania with us to check out the Bucharest Jazz Festival. Thank you so much, man, for joining us.
Thank you, Simon. Always a pleasure, man. Thanks for having us.